from KQED.
Okay, so it's around 5:47 in the morning, and Dan Brecky, who's KQED's transportation editor, is on a bus pulling into San Francisco's downtown bus terminal. Normally, nobody is ever this excited to ride the bus, but this is the very first bus ride to use San Francisco's brand new Transbay Terminal. This is how nice the new Transbay Terminal is. Dan was there when it opened this past weekend, and he spilled just a little bit of coffee cream on the ground.
And I made sure I wiped it up because I didn't want to be the person who made the first spill.
Wait until 10 years from now.
Wait till today.
San Francisco already had a Transbay terminal that was around for decades. So how will the new center be any different than the old one? I'm Devin Katayama. Welcome to the Bay.
As far back as 1856, men dreamed of linking the city of San Francisco with the east shore of the bay.
You know, up until the opening of the Bay Bridge, there was a lot of rail service, streetcar service in both the cities of the East Bay and in San Francisco. And if you wanted to go between the two, you usually got on a boat.
This is Dan.
Once the bridge came, a revolution.
Automobiles and trucks rolling in an endless stream across the bridge that soars above.
And then on the lower deck of the Bay Bridge, it was rail service. The key system from the East Bay carried millions and millions of people every year from the East Bay to San Francisco.
How does that compare to what the ridership's like now coming into the city?
The Transbay service into the new transit center is about 13,000, maybe 13,500 a day. Wow. So it's a fraction of what we saw back in the 40s.
When did the old Transbay terminal hit its peak?
It hit its peak in the war years.
America goes to war. Men of the Army, Navy, and Marines reinforce the battlefronts on six continents.
You know, starting right after its opening in 1939 up through 1945, it was a really busy place.
So in the 40s, the Transbay Terminal is at its peak. What changed after that?
Gas rationing ended with the end of World War II, so people had more freedom to drive. There was also a concerted effort by a combination of very powerful corporations, including General Motors, to basically take apart these interurban train systems that had been the backbone of urban transportation.
More and more and more cars.
It's an epical moment in American transportation history where these systems, these transit systems got taken apart and the private car became the undisputed king of the road.
So what's happening to the Transbay Terminal over the years as this is happening?
Ridership declined precipitously and it just kept going down. Like many, many bus terminals in many, many cities, it wasn't well enough loved to keep it really up. And so it was deteriorating. Things got rough there. And then, you know, the 1980s was the time when homelessness, street living, really became a part of the fabric of the city more and more. And in time, the Transbay Terminal became one of the centers of that.
So the old Transbay Terminal closed in August 2010, and that same month, I think just a few days later, there was groundbreaking on the new Transbay Terminal.
Right.
And you went to basically the grand opening this last weekend.
Going into this new terminal, I was sitting next to the operations manager of AC Transit. I didn't know he was the operations manager, but he was looking down this long line of modern bus bays with these beautiful digital signs, and his eyes lit up, and he goes,
wow, it's like an airport. It's like an airport for buses. I mean, this is a high-tech.
It's like an airport for buses.
Okay, so it's almost all AC Transit in the current Transbay Terminal, but there are hopes for all these other rail lines to come through. What is the grand vision of the new transit hub?
The vision is that it would be the Grand Central Terminal of the West Coast, referring to the great transportation palace in New York City. And what does that mean? That means having trains come in.
First Caltrain, and then if high-speed rail ever gets finished, high-speed rail will terminate up here.
This is Chris Peoples. He's on the AC Transit board, and he rode the first bus into the station along with Dan.
So it'll be an opportunity for folks to come and go pretty much anywhere they want to go. So it's going to become a center for transit for pretty much the whole West Coast, but particularly for the Bay Area.
So when might that happen? Caltrain's a pretty good bet to happen in the next decade. High-speed rail, boy, the financing is so tough that we don't know whether it's going to be built or not.
When you think about the potential that the old Transbay Terminal had in the 1940s, and you think about people talking about the potential that this new Transbay Terminal has, how do you compare the two?
The Transbay Terminal was a utilitarian place. You came in, there were places to eat there. But, you know, that wasn't a place you hung around. You came and went there, and that was about it. The Salesforce Transit Center is not only supposed to be about travel. I mean, we want it to be about travel. But it's also about dining and shopping, if they can lease all these spaces they have. And it's about recreation. It's about enjoying this unique urban park that's up on the roof. And so it's conceived of as the center for this neighborhood. That's an interesting concept because, you know, when you're up on the roof, you know, you're surrounded by logos. You're surrounded, you know, there's Deloitte, there's Charles Schwab, there's Slack, there's iShares. You know, it's just staring you in the face. Plus, there are direct bridges from Salesforce Tower and a building that Facebook has leased. So it's a neighborhood of the future. You know, in terms of ridership, trying to create a place that gets up to 100,000 people coming through a day on buses and trains, in essence, that's kind of a back to the future concept because the Transbay Terminal was doing that, you know, 70, 80 years ago.
With this new Transbay Terminal opening up, people are making a big deal about how beautiful it is, and you don't want to spill your cream on the floor or wherever you spilt it. But how are they going to ensure, like, that this maintains, not only maintains its the essence that it's created, but also fulfills some of the promises it set out to fulfill?
Well, you know, they have a big maintenance budget. That's actually one of the answers to that question. And I'd have to say that, you know, even when you're looking at something that's brand spanking new, like this new transit center, there's nothing that stops us from making the same mistake again. And so everything has to go right there. They have to lease all these spaces. They have to hope that the public money that's coming in will still come in. And if it doesn't, where are they going to cut corners? I mean, one thing I noticed there is the escalators in the place are really, really important. Right, that's the main way to get up from the central hall to the bus deck. But when I look at escalators, I think of broken BART escalators.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that would stop this beautiful shining jewel from following down that same path. There is one thing different, I will point out, though, that it's got Salesforce's name on it, and it's in the middle of this tech jungle. And there are people with a lot of money who probably have a lot invested in at least keeping up appearances.
Dan says one way we may be able to tell if this new transit center's working is if we don't even notice it. Because if a transit system is working really well, we kind of just take it for granted. Dan Brecke is KQED's transportation editor. To see more of Dan's reporting on San Francisco's new transit center and also to see some pictures of the hub, check out kqed.org. You can also find a link to a video of the new architecture in our episode notes. Thanks to Ryan Levy for producing this episode, along with our editor, Vinny Tong. Our theme music is by Dowd Anthony. Senior editors are Holly Kernan and Ethan Lindsay. Also, if you get a chance, check out the podcast Queued Up. Ryan is the host, and he does a pretty good job of curating some of the best stories KQED does each week. That's Queued Up, Q-E-D Up. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Devin Katayama. You've been listening to The Bay.